Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Is It Just Me, the podcast that puts the really important slash trivial things right front and centre. And I'm James Williams, one of your hosts, and as ever I'm joined by the lovely...
Hello, I'm Jo Elson. I didn't know which one you meant was lovely, whether you were looking at me or our guest.
Well, our guest actually, this is a very special episode of Is It Just Me, actually. It's in honour of International Women's Day. It's a bonus episode of Is It Just Me, and we've found, I think, the perfect guest for this
don't
episode.
Don't think we don't find you something for nothing.
We really have.
Here I am.
Well, it's the lovely Stacey Doo. I mean, hello, to be honest, how would you describe, because you're a bit of a multi-hyphen now, aren't you? You're a documentary maker, an author,
apparently a presenter. So. Do you know what? I've got mad imposter syndrome now with the book. You know, it just feels very highbrow and very sophisticated and very grown up.
She's here to plug a book, everyone.
Yeah.
That's
she's
it.
Here,
yeah,
well,
yeah.
We should
got
say.
It in straight away.
We should, yeah. She's here for business. She's not here. Yeah. She didn't come to play. Your book is called Women Who Fight Back.
Yes.
And, I mean, in all seriousness, you know, this is actually quite a hardcore read in many respects. Tell people who don't know about the book what it's about.
So I've been making documentaries for a decade. So it's been 10 years now. So I started when I was 20, 31 on Friday.
Happy birthday,
fellow Piscean.
Very rock and roll. I'm going to the cinema.
What are you going to go see?
I, Tonya.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Desperate to see it.
I saw it on Sunday. It's really, really good.
You've seen it? Yeah. And I adore Margot Robbie.
She's so amazing.
Part of the Oscar. Yeah.
Anyway, I adore Alison Janney.
Yes,
they're very both brilliant. Very happy with that win.
We digress here.
Yes.
We've turned it into a film review podcast, but anyway.
So I've been doing it for 10 years, and I suppose I've met loads of really inspirational women that I really rate, really admire. And it's been quite varied. So I've spent time with the Yazidi girls in Iraq, spent some time in Mosul with the survivors there, spent time with survivors of domestic violence in Honduras. So it's been a huge privilege from my perspective. So it was sort of taking a minute to sort of put all of those women in the one place, I suppose. Yeah. And they've been sort of back and forth for a couple of years. Should we do a book, shan't we? And it just didn't ever materialise. It didn't feel quite right for whatever reason. So I'm particularly proud of this, I suppose, yeah.
And what's your hope for the book? What's the goal? Because to me, it's shining a light in one spot on so many hugely serious issues.
Yeah, I mean, I just want it to start discussion, you know? And I do think, I'm under no illusion that this is going to kind of change everything and I'm here to kind of save the world and be really earnest and be really preachy. It's just about having kind of frank conversations about these admirable women, looking at their circumstances and thinking, you know, how do we feel about that? What can we do to possibly think about moving in the right direction?
But what can we do?
I think awareness is key. I think as soon as you start feeling for these women and speaking about things and you're moved, then you're desperate for change to happen. So you're sort of planting the seeds.
We've talked about this a bit on the podcast in the past, whereby I think we live in a current climate where there's so much horrible stuff going on. And you even talk about this in your book, Stacey, about it's also the way we are now exposed to news and we're exposed to the bad stuff. You don't hear about the lovely stuff going on in the world. We hear about the bad stuff. So it's very easy to just think the world's an awful place and full of awful people.
I think we're bombarded, aren't we? Because, you know, it's on the phone. So every three seconds, this has happened, that's happened, this has kicked off, that's kicked off. But I think you've got to be mindful that through all of the horror and all of the badness and all of the evil, there are remarkable, extraordinary people trying to counterbalance that.
For me, the burning question for me when looking at your documentaries and reading the book, there's so much of what you do that I hold my hand up and say I find really hard to watch and hard to read, particularly things like paedophilia. And so I find it hard to plug in to that for half an hour or an hour. How do you, you know, do you ever have moments when you're sort of so aware and you've had so much first-hand witnessing of what happens? How do you
switch
enjoy
off.
A laugh? Stay or sane. Do you know what I mean? Do you ever have moments where you think, oh, I'm at the cinema now and actually there's this seven-year-old girl that this is happening to?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I totally do. And it's something that lots of people pick up on. I totally understand it. I think sometimes as well when we've got a lot going on and, you know, work's hectic, life's hectic, you want escapism. You don't necessarily want to hear about these babies suffering.
How do you cope with that?
Yeah, I think I try and hold on to the belief that there are more good people than bad people. I do sort of fundamentally believe that. I think, like you say, we hear about the bad stuff because it's so harrowing and it's so shocking. But it is interesting, you know, like a couple of years ago, I did something in the Philippines. It was just painfully sad. And these kids were just being abused in a way that I'd not heard of before. And I was so made up that we got that commission because I really felt it was important. But it was sort of 15 hours of listening to these kids being tortured. But I'd not been on holiday for a couple of years. I'd been working like a lunatic, so I hadn't seen my boyfriend. So we'd arranged to meet in Thailand. So he'd fly out and I'd meet him from Philippines. And that kind of transition, that switch from kind of intense pain to having a really kind of frivolous, beautiful, fun time with the guy that I adored in a really lovely hotel felt a bit iffy for a while. And you're riddled with guilt almost. But then you've got to remember that, you know, you've got to live your life. And I think as long as you're doing a tiny, 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 tiny bit, you know, again, I'm under no illusion that I'm kind of saving everything. But I think if you're raising awareness, you can be proud of that.
And you're starting a conversation
as well.
And
it's something,
But also I think what you have to remember as well is, you know, even some of the most horrible things you've witnessed, you've also, I think, encountered the strength of human spirit,
haven't you?
And I think that's what surely gets you through it, is that these people who have even experienced these horrors, they are still good people. They're not bitter people. They, you know, they don't become what they've been exposed to. Do you know what I mean? That's often what would happen. But some of these people are still so incredibly, you know, forgiving. And, you know,
you're totally right. And the Yazidi women are particularly sort of inspiring in that sense. They're still very kind of tactile and very funny and very warm and very witty. And, you know, they haven't allowed those perpetrators to determine the kind of characters that they're going to be. And I just think
It's extraordinary.
But also, I think as well, what I love about your book, Stacey, is it's so your voice.
Oh, do you know, so many people have said that. Well, that's either a blessing or a curse.
But I think that's what people love you for. I think, you know, you do go into these places. And you've even said it yourself, when you started off at 19 or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, you did go in slightly, like, you know, you just asked obvious questions.
I don't know what
question.
Week it was.
But you asked basically what people on the street probably would want to ask. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I think that comes across in your book as well. And even now, I think you still don't lose touch with that.
I hope so. It's funny, isn't it? I think at the start, I remember, so it was a guy called Danny Cohen who gave me my first gig. He's such a trooper, like a real sweetheart, such a gent. And he said to me, I remember him sitting down and saying, you know, I'm giving you this because I'm interested in hearing what you've got to say. Don't sort of behave like a traditional, conventional journalist. That's not what we're interested in. That's not what you are. Best piece of advice I've ever been given. You just have to...
But do you think, on a very serious question this, do you think because you weren't necessarily trained, and because you're a woman, because of maybe how you look and the age you were, do you definitely feel like you've had to work doubly hard to be taken seriously in the field you work in?
Yeah, I suppose the first couple of years, right, I mean, some of the criticism was warranted. You know, I was finding my feet and, you know, I wasn't perfect and I did need to learn. But you have to work hard and pick up things as you go along. No one starts perfect, I think, in respect, you know, wherever you work, whatever your job role is. So I think the first couple of years, you know, I did find it tricky to kind of be torn down by sort of middle-aged, middle-class men. But do you know what, actually, in kind of hindsight, it's probably helped because I don't give a shit now what everyone... And I really don't. And I think that becomes more important the older you get, you know, the most important person you've got to, this sounds so cheesy, but I do believe it, kind of impresses yourself, you know? You've got to think, I'm delighted with how I handled that, I'm proud of that, and move forward.
But also, you know, and you say this again in the book, you know, you're also now calling the shots a lot more, aren't you?
Yeah.
At first you were very much just the person in front of camera being directed, and now you're directing, you're doing your own voiceovers, so, you know, you're owning it a lot more,
yeah,
I guess.
I'm more involved editorially. I suppose I assistant produce my own stuff now, and I'm learning how to shoot, and I've been on a director's course. I just think, and it helps being in the edit as well, because sometimes, you know, you'll be doing pieces to camera and you'll be going, oh, no, 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 no. And in the edit, you think you only need three lines. Yeah. So it helps you become better on both sides.
Yeah. And is this it for you, do you think? Do you think this is your path? You want to keep doing it? You'll never get bored?
Go back to Luton Airport.
Well, you're selling those fragrances.
I mean, I'm loving it, you know, and it's a complete privilege. You know, I'm under no illusion that, you know, I'm not incredibly lucky to do something I love for a living. And I suppose I know what it's like not to be so lucky. So I'm even more keen to sort of keep hold of it. Yeah.
What's the Everest? What's the assignment that you haven't done?
That I'm desperate to do?
Yeah.
Actually, you know, I'm doing something at the minute that I've been wanting to do for a while. So lots of people always say, you know, you go so far afield and you always do things that sort of, you know, miles and miles away. And there are so many stories to be told here at home, domestic stories. And there's been a rise in paramilitary-style punishment attacks in Belfast, Northern Ireland. So, as you know, it's Britain, and essentially we've got kind of vigilante groups, like almost like a weird neighbourhood watch going around shooting kids who are behaving badly in the knees. There's been a sharp rise. So they used to do that a while back, and then it sort of dipped again, but for whatever reason, the spike's there, it's gone back up. And so I was working on this before Christmas, will we, won't we, and we got that commissioned, and I'm back and forth with that now. So
where do you get your fearlessness?
I know, she's such a badass, you really are.
That's really,
it's stupidity.
That's really scary.
Nothing scares you. I mean, my favourite
bit... I can't get in the lift.
Yeah, it's actually Stacey is scared of getting in the lift, so that's the one. She is human after all, people.
I can't get in the lift.
But one of my favourite anecdotes from the book is when you go to that prison and you basically tell this rather scary ex-gang member that her hair's shit.
Yeah.
Because she, to be fair, she told you your hair was shit first.
Yeah, she said my hair was shit. So actually it was thrown up like this. Yeah. So I was really tired, I hadn't washed my hair, hair was shit. Yeah. It was like greasy.
She had a point.
Yeah, she was absolutely right. But it's that kind of rapport, and I think as well, they're not really interested in having kind of considered straight conversations. You know, they like all that. You know, they sort of, they want to interact in that way. And some of the girls I really loved, you know. Yeah. It was circumstantial a lot of the time. They'd sort of place, wrong time.
You probably connect with them on a more human level. That's probably why they then open up to you. And you get much better stuff out of them, really.
She's like, your hair looks shit. I was like, at least I've got hair. You know, soon they had to shave their hair off. Because as part of the punishment, I thought,
Oh, that's amazing.
Don't mess with Stacey,
Julie.
I'm a bit worried, actually, because we are now going to have to move on to some topics, Stacey.
No, there's
going to be no messing with us.
Much more serious than anything.
Oh, way more serious.
That's what I expect.
Are you ready? I mean, you've seen some things, but are you ready to do the Is It Just Me topics?
I'm very, very ready.
Let's do this.
Okay.
Stacey Dooley, James Williams. Followers of my Instagram account will be amazed it's taken us this long to get to this subject. But hey, Stacey's chosen it, so we get to get a lot off our chest today. Mm-hmm. Is it just me who doesn't care one iota what her other half thinks of what she wears?
I wish I could do that
with my tongue.
I know, I'm really into it, but sometimes when I'm tired,
It wanes.
When I was a kid, I used to try for hours to do it. It's
nothing I can't do, James.
Oh, I know, really.
I know.
She's so skilled, this girl. So obviously you're with Joe on this one.
I'm so with Joe on this one. And actually, you know, my boyfriend, Sam, he's my biggest critic. He's my biggest troll. And he started hashtagging, actually. He has got, sometimes I do just throw gear on.
Just deal with it, Sam.
Deal with it. I clearly feel like I look very kind of, you know, Copenhagen /
oh yeah, Olsen, they don't like the fugly flatform Scandi
he's not interested.
Vibe at all.
But he always says, like, when you've got judo practice at 2 but the courthouse at 4, you know, if I'm wearing like quilted joggers with a coat, I think, honey, please,
that throws him.
Yeah. Throws him.
I still wish I had the jacket that what kind of originally started it years and years ago. I had this really nice white denim jacket from Marc Jacobs, and it had like sort of marching band stitching on the front, as was the style at the time. Cost me a fortune. I wore it to death. It was white. It went with everything.
It's my piece.
He called it, this is going to be a reference that sort of goes over the heads of many of our listeners, but he called it my Buck Rogers in the 25th century jacket, because it kind of looked like all those Battlestar Galactica.
Do you actually know, though, because I have to say, having worked with predominantly women for most of my adult life, you know, I'm very clear on the fact that girls don't dress for men. Girls dress for girls.
I think some do, though. I've got to say.
But that was my question. Do we know?
I don't dress for anyone except me.
Well, okay, but
I honestly don't.
No, but I think what I mean is, I think girls are more concerned with what their mates think about their outfit than their boyfriends. Mm. I don't know of any girls that actually dress for men or dress for men. You know, and I do think there is something to be said for them. The male aesthetic is very different.
But
you know,
do you
what they appreciate in terms of style.
But tell me this: do you think? Because I had this conversation with a friend of mine, who said, she said, I was wearing like a jumpsuit or something, like a real sort of like, you know, kryptonite for my husband is the jumpsuit, the onesie.
I mean.
And this friend of mine said to me, I love jumpsuits, but my husband really only likes me in tea dresses and skirts. So I can't buy them. And I thought for a second, my first thought was, God, am I the worst wife? No, am I the worst wife in the world that unless we're sort of like having sexy time date night,
yeah.
I don't get dressed and think, oh.
What's Oscar going to think?
Yeah, yeah. Does that make me a terrible person?
No. Girl, I'm with you. I
think
feel
Ross
like
would say yes, but.
Ross and Sam would agree, but we don't.
Yeah.
No, I know exactly what you mean. I think it's so important to feel comfy, and it's so important to sort of feel yourself when you've got your gear on. You know what I mean? I think if it was up to Sam, I promise you this, like, it's no exaggeration, it's no top up. I'd be in like a coral bodycon dress. Like, with my tits pushed up as far
walking
forward
around Iran.
Possible.
Well,
perfect.
That
would be ideal.
I always say this about most, I think most heterosexual men would dress the women in their lives like girls allowed at peak extra
so
girls allowed.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Clear hooker heels and everything.
Yeah, hooker heels, massive fake tan, bodycon dresses. You know, Hervé Leger. I mean, I hate to talk into very sweeping statements, but I do genuinely feel that is pretty much the case.
Red knickers. Black dresses.
Yes. If he ever bought me red
suspenders.
Really have the ump.
Yeah. All those clueless men running around lingerie departments on Christmas Eve, desperately trying to, you know. showing
the sales assistant, like, their hands in front of their chest to say, oh, she's about
but this
size.
Just a handful.
She's a bit bigger than you. The girls are always really mindful that he's staring at her tits.
Oh. Even as a man here, it sounds incredibly arrogant, but I very rarely ask anyone, what do you think of my outfit? What do you think of this trouser? What do you think of... I think that you're either that kind of person that is confident with your style and knows what works for you, or you're not. Like, I have lots of friends who genuinely panic and they consult me. They'll send me pictures of what they're wearing and what do you think?
I used to be like that.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, when I was at Glamour, in the first year or so at Glamour, I'd never edited a fashion magazine before, so I always just assumed I was the one getting it wrong. It took me years of, particularly in the shows, like, you know, texting a picture of my outfit to the fashion editor. It took years of her going, yeah, that looks great, before I kind of just stopped worrying about it.
Yeah.
Did you feel like all eyes were on you because you were so influential and that was your world?
No, it is not like me at all to think all eyes are on me because I am so influential. It was more, I think if I'm really honest now, this sounds pathetic, but it goes back to being bullied at high school for always having the wrong thing on, never being allowed to get the cool jeans that all my friends had, all that sort of thing. So my biggest fear was being the one that everyone was going, oh my God, have you seen what she's wearing today? As long as no one's doing that, I don't care if you think my outfit's the best or the... Do you know what I mean? It's,
Oh, that's,
I always dress a bit quirky. Yeah. I was that weird 11-year-old that wore bow ties. I think of my own choosing. Even my parents were a bit like... And my dad loves a cravat. And even he was a bit like, why is my son walking around like little Lord Fauntleroy? But it was... But I've always had that kind of... I would always do what I wanted. And I guess... And even bullies would never knock that out of
and
me,
I
suppose.
That,
that was kind of my
I wish
ultimate...
I was like that.
Two fingers.
I remember when I went to a school disco, right, and I was young, man, like young, like infant junior, and it was school disco, and I was bought pedal pushers, but I was The pioneer.
Okay, no, yeah, hang on a minute. What year are we talking? I'll tell you whether or not that was a
maybe you're right.
Yeah. Dick move.
Probably a dick move. Yeah. I think it was junior school, so certainly no older than 10. Wow. So I'm 31 now. 20. White pedal pushers.
But did they make you happy?
But anyway, I really felt the part. And then there was two girls, who I won't name, who were sort of called me Jack Up Jill. And then I went home and then I was a bit gutted. And then they knocked on my door the next day, trying to come out and play. And it was my first time of sort of standing up for myself. And I said, I don't want to come out and play because you took the piss out of me yesterday. Shut the door, really wanted to go out and play.
But you took a stand for those pedal pushers.
Took a stand for the PPs.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, well, but basically, we're all in unison on this one, aren't we? Basically, just dress how the hell you like, as long as you're comfortable. But
I mean, sometimes, if we are having a date night, I probably won't put on my dungarees, even my best ones, just to give him a treat.
Yeah, but it's, everything's in a relationship is a bit of compromise, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you can't always have everything your own way, sometimes. I guess what we have to say is there's no shame in wanting to be attractive to your other half as well. So I guess, no judgment here, as we always say on Is It Just Me?
Oh, it's more fun when there's judgment.
There's way more fun when there is judgment.
Son's judgment on this one. Maybe the next
Except from the husbands and the boyfriends.
Yeah. Exactly. But screw them. Screw them. Anything.
Yeah.
Hashtag close my husband hates.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, so Is It Just Me? Who seems to be getting grumpier and grumpier as the years go by.
Look at your sweet little pixie
face. I don't believe you're grumpy for a second.
You're never going to get a frown line.
I'm a real nightmare. I'm getting worse. The older I get, do you know what it is? It's not necessarily I'm getting grumpier. I'm getting less tolerant of nonsense.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But do you also think as well?
No,
again,
I need an example.
Okay, give us a really good grumpy example.
So, okay, I'll tell you. So, the general public.
Oh, wow. Sold, absolutely. Yeah.
We love you all, our listeners, but...
Not you,
other ones.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm madly in love with them. Sometimes I literally want to lock myself in my flat and never come out. Mm. So, for example, if I'm on the train... And someone's talking unnecessarily loud about, she said her eyebrows were shit, and then she came to the bar, and then it all kicked off. Oh, my days. But I think I'm not interested. I would have been sort of 5 or 10 years ago, but I'm so uninterested because I've got to send this really dull email to Hove Council about my recycling that's not been picked up. So I just feel like I'm getting grumpier and less tolerant.
I'm with you on that because I. What happened to headphones? Because I've had a couple of experiences now whereby I was on a train the other day and a girl was literally watching the rugby live streaming on her phone, literally with no headphones in. Mm. And then a girl on the beach the other week when I was on holiday, literally just playing music. And just heard. I could understand if she had a little mini speaker and she had some mates with her. She was just sat there on her own playing it. I was going, love, put some headphones in. So I'm getting grumpier and grumpier. And I think. Well, we talked about this as well. It's about you become less tolerant, less likely to bite your tongue, don't you, as you get older, I think.
I'm pretty grumpy. However, the perspective I'm coming at it from is, you picked up my accent, not everybody does. I've lived in this country for about half my life, a little bit longer. When I first got to this country, I was young and angry and full of temper, and I used to find myself getting in arguments on the tube all the time. So I've curbed it a lot. I've really learned that I don't get anywhere really go zero to a bazillion.
Yeah.
But are you internal grumpy?
Yeah, it's, I mean, you wouldn't know.
Are you very British grumpy, but you don't actually ever say anything?
Passive aggressive. Like,
yeah.
I really wish you'd stop doing that. Hi, yes. I know.
That's to be all
yeah,
like,
I'm totally like that.
Yeah.
Totally.
I do and always I'm... admire those people in the cinema that shush people, because it really winds me up, people that talk in the cinema, but I would never say shush.
No, I'm too scared I'm going to get stabbed.
Me too.
Yeah.
You never
yeah. But I always go, good on you. And, you know, my dad's that person that would, if somebody drops something at litter, he'll go over and say, excuse me, you dropped something.
So
and I'm like, God, Dad, you're going to get your head kicked in one day. But I kind of admire him at the same time.
We had this thing on the train one day where this girl got on and she had no headphones and was playing her music so loudly. And this guy sitting in the carriage went, American guy, said, does anybody else here think that's rude? Like this.
Love
and,
America.
And everybody, yeah. And loads of them. People started chiming in going, well, yes, I'm very disturbed by this as well. And all the time this was, and it just actually... It actually just made the whole thing worse than if we'd all just sat there
and just listened to the music.
To her music. So yeah. I don't know. I suppose I probably am grumpier than I used to be.
But I think as long as you, I think if you acknowledge your grumpiness,
I've learned the futility of it.
I mean,
it's true. I suppose it's that thing. It's that sort of. It's like sort of pick your battles, isn't it?
I think there's a difference as well between grumpy and miserable. Like you can be a happy grumpy person, I think. Whereas miserable people just love misery, don't they? Oh. People sometimes you just ring them up and they can't wait to tell you who's died or who's got some terrible illness. Or...
Hi, Mum.
Hi, Mum. But you know what I mean. And some people just wallow in other people's misery sometimes. But it's not really anything to do with you. But yet somehow you're making yourself really miserable.
It's like just some people can't help themselves. So you know what I mean? Like. We're on the train or whatever, it's jam-packed. Clearly it's jam-packed, right? There's nowhere for anyone to go. We've all paid extortionate amounts for these ridiculous trains. Anyway.
So don't get started on train fares.
Spoken like a fellow Southeastern.
I just can't bear it. I literally, I'm on the edge.
Yeah.
But it's like when they're like, can you move down?
I do hate
where
those
do you want
people.
Me to go?
Yeah, exactly.
Where do you want me to stand on his head?
Yeah.
Do you want me to put my fanny in this stranger's face?
That is what they want you to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just kind of I have actually turned around someone before and said, I can't actually swallow any more armpits. So, thanks.
That's enough.
I mean, is anyone not grumpy on public transport? I think that we've talked about this before. I mean, it's just, but I think...
Yeah. Well, when I was unemployed, and you can go on the train not in rush hour.
Yes.
Oh. I really fell in love with it again. But now I'm back to
I'm with you.
Armpits in my face.
Really you don't say anything. You're internalising all that grumpiness.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't want to get stabbed.
No, exactly. You don't want to get punched or stabbed.
Yeah, and I have been punched by a woman on the tube.
My God.
Have you?
Yeah. Yeah. You think you've seen the hard times, Lacey Dooley.
I stand corrected.
Yeah, I mean, really.
You punched in the face?
No, in the back. Yeah.
What did you do?
I didn't. It's awful. I really wish there was CCTV footage that I could go back. This woman swore blind that I shoved her out of the way to get off a train. I would never. Going back to, I never want to get stabbed. Mm. I'm not touching anybody.
No, about that.
I think we were all kind of being shoved out, and I said, if I did do that, I'm really sorry. It was an accident. She went, yeah, sure. And I went, and I just said, oh look. You're insane. And I walked past her, and as I walked past her, she hit me in the back.
Mm.
Like, honestly, she was about 4 feet high, about 60. I didn't know how to process this.
She react.
At all.
That's when your grumpiness is off the scale. Yeah, when you start actually lashing out physically. Yeah.
And then she caught up with me and said, I'd really like to punch you. And I said...
You did!
I said... Please do it again, and then we'll go and see the police. But she just scurried. It's still one of the. Sometimes when I remember it at night, I lie awake really haunted by. What did I do?
Yeah. Yeah. That wasn't you. That was her. Yeah. That was her and her mad, mad ways.
So that's why I don't engage on the tube.
So maybe.
But also, like I said, you're not as grumpy as that woman.
No.
You'll never be as grumpy as that woman.
No, we're not there yet.
I feel like we've got our grumpiness in check, people.
I think we're fine, actually.
Yeah, we're totally fine. If you don't think we're fine, if you think we are really grumpy, miserable bastards, please do email us.
Yeah.
isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com. We do love hearing from you, in all seriousness, so do email us. Send us some suggestions for topics as well, because we love discussing them here. And actually, in a very modern way, you know, people were saying they were petitioning to get you on the show via Instagram. Yes, and we had literally, it was really weird.
They nagged us into it.
Yeah. And here we are.
We didn't actually want you.
Yeah. I bet we better.
Was really weird. I actually got to say in a very smug way, watch this space comment back. So if you were that lovely Instagram follower, we did it. We made your dream come true.
Was it Diane Dooley? It's probably my mother.
All the people who want Beyonce.
Yeah. She's coming. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
she keeps asking, and Joe and I are a bit like, "Oh, Beyonce, come on,
you're
do something else." I mean,
very busy.
You know, we've got bigger things to fry, really. If you are listening, Beyonce, we'd love to have you on. Is it just me who would, in a second, ban wheelie bags? I'm talking cases on wheels, people. I hate them. I've nearly come a cropper on my way here via one. And when I say, I need to clarify, I do think the original suitcase on wheels was a great invention, almost as great as the wheel itself.
Well, thanks for your honesty.
I know. Yeah. But I'm talking about these wheelie cases that are now shrinking and shrinking and shrinking to the point now where I'm talking about they're essentially glorified wallets on wheels. Mm. And the actual handle is longer than the actual thing they're dragging.
I know exactly what you mean.
And honestly, I've seriously nearly broken several limbs falling over these things.
I've got to tell you, my knee is still not right from falling over one 2 years ago at Heathrow Airport.
Yeah. I've got you.
Tiny black suitcase on a pitch black tiled floor. I didn't see it. Mm. I went flying.
So,
and this woman said to me, well, watch where you're going. And thank God there was a BA flight attendant in there. And she, you know, in airports, the flight attendants have got, they're like the police, right? Oh. And she just turned to this woman and said, you've got a tiny bag on a black floor. And I just thought, and I had to go to Milan Fashion Week. Oh. I could barely walk. I had a really...
New swag.
Also, I feel like, side note, watch where you're going when you've nearly fallen over. It's a bit like saying, calm down. It's like, nothing's guaranteed to make you see red or to make the blood stop pumping. I really want to smack you now for saying that.
You know, because you're so mortified. Yes. And especially if you're on your own, there's
so
nothing worse.
And it hurts,
because
you
sort of want to laugh, but you can't because you're in pain. But you're so embarrassed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to style it out.
Yeah.
No, obviously, I think you're going to defend. I think you need to defend these.
No, I am. Listen, I'm all about the bags. Actually, it's as if I knew.
You've
I've
turned up. Yeah,
with a wheelie bag.
With your wheelie bag, which is where we got into this in the first place.
Because I'm telling you, well, because I suppose I'm all over the show. So I'm in Manchester this evening. I live in Brighton. I'm often in London and back and forth with work or whatever. So I live out that bag.
But that is a big enough size where you can see it coming, I would argue, in your defence.
Yeah.
He's pretending.
Yeah, he's pretending. Yeah.
I hate you and I hate your bag.
Get out. Take your shit bag with you. I'm all for the bags. Yeah. And I feel like, do you know why? So I've got a couple that don't zip up. And my mum, who's like obsessed that I'm always going to get like pickpocketed every time I leave, you know, the house. Mm-hmm. You know, put your gear in a case, put your gear in a case, put your gear in a case. So now I feel like I'm good to go. And do you know what? If anything happens or kicked off, I've got supplies with me. What would you do? You've got a pocket.
Yeah. Very good pocket. I mean,
an oyster cast.
Yeah.
How are you going to defend yourself with an oyster card?
I think as well, the problem is, I mean, look, Joe nearly came a cropper in Heathrow, where you expect to find them.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, Joe's just a bit dumb to go. Yeah. But no, I mean, I'm talking about, like, you know, I said this earlier, I feel there's a special place in hell for people with tiny wheelie bags and golf umbrellas in central London.
Yeah, I don't know about the umbrellas.
Oh,
yeah.
It's always businessmen with and they have no awareness. Also, they're the same people that have no backpack awareness.
They'll take your eye out.
Don't get me started on backpacks.
I'm telling you,
who literally smack you in the face and they turn around because they have no idea of how deep they go because they're wearing these huge backpacks.
I had this woman with a huge backpack swing around and I went flying, and I'm not joking, nearly went over the edge of a tube platform.
Oh,
I basically should just stay home.
I feel like you need to just stay in Addison Lee's or cab or something.
Yeah. Uber everywhere.
But yeah, public transport's not for you.
Joe could write a book about it.
How long I've been waiting for somebody to say
you need to follow Joe. A new documentary, Follow Joe Commuting.
We need to get you a chopper.
I have to say, it was like, I go home with these stories and my husband says to me, see, nothing happens to me, Joe. Things happen to you.
Day after day.
Yeah.
She's a magnet
for it. But what's your bag awareness? It's the people who just seem to have forgotten that there's this appendage that they're
I call it a lack of BPA, backpack awareness. I get very passionate about it. But I literally, it happened to me the other day. Somebody, I was on again, packed tube, and basically, I'm essentially somebody who had everything they owned in their bag.
Fabulous.
Just turned around and smacked me in the face to the point where everybody else on the tube couch kind of laughed. But this person was blissfully unaware that they just smacked me in the face. And it was a bit like, you know, when a pigeon flies at your head and it's gone and no one could see what happened? This was kind of like the opposite of that, where I thought no one had seen it and they'd all just basically see me being twatted around the face.
You know,
but it was actually quite funny.
Like, though, I don't like it when they feel like they're entitled to bring all their gear. Like, I do understand that. Like, they're entitled to have this massive case on the tube. They're entitled to have this trendy bike that folds into 18 pieces and, like, the helmet and
I think they are entitled, but just have some awareness.
Yeah.
Take the bloody thing off your back.
Yes, that's
what
I think.
The thing.
Yeah.
You know, obey the rule that says, actually, you can't take it on in rush hour.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Yeah.
Oh God, I am angry now.
We're at full grump level now, people.
We've all got the don't like anyone or anything.
We are basically,
and we've got nothing to put our things in.
Honestly,
we hate
can't ever imagine you grumpy.
No,
I really can't.
I promise you, I am. I am. In fact, I kicked off this morning. Oh, Sam.
Your publicist is here. Did she? Yeah. She beat you.
Absolutely.
No, she's always a
dream and a delight.
Yeah.
But I think I'm also a great believer in verbalising it.
Yeah.
If you get it out, then you won't become an eternally grumpy person.
Well, that's what I said to Sam this morning. He's sort of totally incapable of washing a pot, a cup, a dish, just wiping the sides down. Can you just do your part? Just do your thing. So, yeah, I'm just going to
I think you better say something positive about this boyfriend.
I know, but I do. Yeah. I adore him, actually. And he's a total sweetheart.
Yeah.
There are just a couple of things that rattle my
You just don't
page.
Give a shit about his opinion on your clothes, that's it.
Yeah, son's interest. I'm not interested in hearing you, slate the clothes.
Well, Stacey, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
It's
I'm
been a total
you.
Delight joining
it's
us on this.
A rollicking roller coaster of rage.
Yes, sorry.
Yeah. We're all revved up.
But in celebration of International Women's Day, you're a woman, you are entitled to be angry.
Hell yeah.
Happy International Women's Day to everyone listening.
Your book on the front line with women who fight back is, I mean, you know, it's not the easiest reading, but it's important reading.
Yes.
And we really salute you for bringing those stories to people's attention. Congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
In
I
all
really
seriousness.
Really
yes.
That. No, thank
Keep
you.
Going out there and doing amazing things.
Yeah.
You brave, badass you.
Grumpy, brave woman.
I dare you to follow me on the tube and live my truth.
Yeah. Watch that bag on the way out.
It's a commission right there.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.